Grace and peace to you all this morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Good morning. It is good to be here with you. In terms of announcements in the bulletin, just to point out that from 9 until noon this upcoming Saturday is the Church Cleanup Project Day, and there's a Wednesday Bible study. Are there any other announcements? Wonderful. Let us join together in prayer. God, we thank you for sunshine. We thank you for the spirit-filled wind that is rushing around us. We thank you for spring. We thank you for smelt. We thank you for laughter and good food. And we thank you especially that we can be here together today. May we recognize your presence with us always, but especially in this place. May we be refilled. May we refreshen the spirit that you send with us as we are here together. May we be emboldened by you as we are here today. Amen.
Good morning. The first scripture reading is Acts 17, 22 through 31. It is on page 902 in the Pew Bibles. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. We too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead."
So I don't think, well, what Paul says is really good, so feel free to go back and read it, and it's actually really good today. Sometimes Paul is way more confusing than he is today. But we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today, I decided, because we talk about this kind of stuff in confirmation class, and then we're like, cool, you know it. You're never going to need to know it again or process through it again for the rest of your life. So, because everybody's just stuck at 13. I hope not. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, what and who. And we'll discuss how we move with the Holy Spirit. We're going to discuss that at Pentecost, which is in 2 weeks. Prepare your red clothing. But I don't think we get back to the basics as much as we should. So in Hebrew, in ancient Hebrew, because I'm Presbyterian, we have to learn this stuff. The word for spirit is ruach. And in ancient Greek, it is pneuma. And that word doesn't just mean spirit. Both of those mean spirit, wind, and breath. And remember that when we read the Pentecost story, because it's like, and then the Spirit came like a great wind and breathed upon them. And you're like, it's the same word three times. We don't notice that. And so today we're talking about the Spirit because Jesus is talking about himself and talking about the Father and then the Spirit, the Advocate. And this is the Trinity. It is a foundational aspect of our Christianity, but it's not exactly biblical. From passages like this, you can see where it develops from, but nowhere in Scripture is it Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That does not exist. And it came into conversation. It was a huge debate with lots of people with entirely too strong opinions in the early church. And so at like the First Nicene Council of 325, the First Council of Constantinople in 381, they talked about this stuff. And I think, okay, my dad's been dead for 2 years. It's his birthday. Cool. This is the kind of stuff that I would go to my dad and be like, hey, Papa, what was that thing with the thing that had happened? And Constantine said, like, he locked the dudes in a room. And like, this is how we would converse. And said, like, you're not allowed to have any food until you decide what the Trinity is. Okay, I think it's one of these, but I'm pretty sure it's the Constantinople one. But it was kind of the concept of the Trinity as we have it came about somewhat under duress. And it's okay if you're still awkward with it. And for hundreds and hundreds of years, they had huge arguments, kicked people out about who came first and how do they work together. Is there an hierarchy? There's officially none, but I think there kind of is, at least in how we operate it. So it's a little complicated. The implications of the Trinity existing are that we have a monotheistic God, we have a one God that is always in relationship. So if you think of like God, the dude on the chair with the beard all by himself, that's not a Trinitarian concept of God. Yeah, you've seen it, you know. With the one that's like poking at Adam on the Sistine Chapel ceiling. There is inherently with God, because God is relationship, a divine dance. I like to imagine it like Ring Around the Rosies or Hava Nagela, and the three parts of the Trinity are holding hands with each other, dancing around in a circle, except they're not holding hands. They always have the hands unlocked and open and bringing us in, so we are always invited into that dance. When we sin, we're like, no, I'm not dancing with you. It's a rejection of that relationship. But it is always in motion, always in relationship, never alone, okay? They say it funnier, like one and three and three and one, and it's, but that's what they're getting at. My take on a main reason why the Trinity is helpful is that there are different aspects of the Godhead that reach different people and are different connecting points that reach different needs. So some people are really Jesus people. Some people are really God people. Some people are really Holy Spirit people. And not just the Pentecostals. I will tell you, I am a spirit person. Shocker, I know. So there are some characteristics of the Spirit that I find really helpful to understand. The Spirit is movement. The Spirit is getting things done. The Spirit is kinetic energy. So if you think of, remember in science class that energy is never gained nor lost? It's not like you have God that's gained or lost. It's just the Holy Spirit's the one that's pushing you to do the things. So anybody else listen to Prairie Home Companion? Okay, a few people. You know the advertisement for buttermilk biscuits? It gives shy people the courage to get up and do what needs to be done. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit. And then I love doing this from the pulpit. So when birds are babies and they're grown up and they're like, I can fly, but I don't wanna. I'm scared. Like, I'm ready, but I'm not ready. It's the Holy Spirit that goes, pew, pew, pew. I love doing that. It's like, you're ready, you're going. Just go. Just, you're done. Never before you're ready, but when you're ready. And I also find that the Holy Spirit is incredibly comforting. The Holy Spirit is companionship. And for me, Well, I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit has often been depicted as feminine. The word ruach is a feminine word. That's Hebrew. In Greek, it's a gender neutral term. But throughout history, it's kind of been like, oftentimes you will see the Holy Spirit as like the female part of the Trinity, although God doesn't really need to have a gender. And personally speaking, I experience the Holy Spirit as a feminine aspect. You don't have to agree with this, by the way, okay? You just need to know about it, all right? So for me, I've experienced the Holy Spirit coming and visiting me and hanging out with me when I was pregnant, just kind of like circled around and hugged my belly. That was very sweet. And then one time I was having a really rough time and I was like, God, what's going on? And I got the image of the Holy Spirit like a big sister sitting behind me braiding my hair. And so these are different connection points. And so do you feel how that would be different than like, here is Jesus, my teacher and my rabbi, and here is God, but you have God who's far away and can see. You know, if you have an issue with your father, God the Father is not going to be a good connecting point for you. And that's fair. And that's fine. God's like, cool, cool, find something else. So we are brought in different ways. The scripture in John today talks about the Holy Spirit in various ways that aren't necessarily super obvious. But when Jesus left the Spirit with us. So Jesus is like, I'm leaving in body, but you got the Spirit. It's me too. It's okay. And the scripture said, who is also an advocate, right? And we'll talk about the advocate a little bit in a sec. But Jesus says, I'll leave the advocate and truth. And there is this interesting part, seeing the world can't receive it, but you can receive. And we go back to abide with me. And we go back to the thoughts from the previous week about God has abodes for us. There's this companionship and this connection so that we aren't orphaned when Jesus leaves, so that we still have that family, we still have that connection. And so we'll talk further on this, but Jesus says, as part of this, I need you to keep my commandments. I find it really helpful at points like this to remember what those are. I find it helpful to make lists of what is it we are supposed to do, because if you keep my commandments, that's intimidating. But there are things like love God above all else. Love your neighbor as yourself. Feed my sheep and tend my lambs. And then Matthew 25, as I remembered it without looking it up, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, house the homeless, visit those in prison, tend to the sick, and just in general, take care of the vulnerable. So the Holy Spirit is Jesus with us and is the presence with and through which we can do these things. We can follow these commandments. It is the energy and it is the movement. I find the Holy Spirit to be the most regularly interactive aspect of the Trinity. My cheeky response to people who are saying things like, well, Jesus is my friend, is Jesus does not return my phone calls. But that's because I find the Holy Spirit a better connection. And I want to go back to John's words. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Two things, advocate and another, which means it's not just one. We get multiple people, multiple entities coming alongside us, which means Jesus saw himself in that role as well. I'm not sure advocate is the best translation, because it means like when you stand up for somebody or when you politically go to bat for somebody, but the Greek word, sorry, we're getting linguistic today, is paraclete. You do not need to remember that. And it just means someone who comes alongside. Because we are human and ridiculous, one internet interpretation said that the advocate helps us bring forth our sin for forgiveness. Nah, man. You've made it that loaded. It just means to come alongside. Isn't that fantastic? It's companionship. Pure and simple. Today is Mother's Day. Today is my father's birthday. He died 2 years ago. So I've been thinking in those terms. And we have another list. I will tell you things that I learned that I picked up from my parents. To wake up and get going in the morning. To comfort myself, others, when sick or sad. To hold during tantrums. When I was a toddler and having a temper tantrum, my dad would just pick me up and just quietly hold me until I calmed down. Didn't work with my kid. But that companionship. To encourage and say, I'm proud of you. To want you to be your own true self. Something that I often have done on Father's Day for time with children is to share with them something that I learned from my father, which is to declare who you are. And so I have the kids stand up front and I count to three and I have them yell their names to declare themselves as loudly as possible. And when doing that with children severely abused by their parents, it's a pretty powerful experience. To be backup when everything falls apart. To teach us to stand up for ourselves. I remember my dad telling me that at some point in, junior high, he asked me, maybe late elementary school, he said, are the teachers at your school calling on the girls as much as the boys? And I said, no. And he said, you should talk to your teacher about that. And apparently I did. And a few weeks later, he asked me again, and she'd evened out the number. Also, he was very proud because at one point I said, I feel like you're violating me because you ate one of my popsicles. Right? My dad was a delightful combination of Mr. Rogers and Mark Twain. And those are from my father and my mother. And then this morning I put on a perfume that reminds me of my grandma. And I remember she was my best friend growing up. And I remember that she taught me about giggles, about how to play, and how to be creative. When you think about the muses, they were considered goddesses. And so why can't creativity be wonderfully divine? And then I remembered on the drive up here, I'm watching a show on Netflix called Almost Australian. It's a British actress who's just gotten hurt. She plays Professor Sprout in Harry Potter. She just got her Australian nationality and citizenship. And so she's on a tour around the country and she's trying to figure out this concept of mateship, which is friendship, but Australian. And she finds the deepest connection with some trans women from one of the islands who have come over, and they are an incredibly isolated, incredibly dismissed community. And she says they have the absolute best connection because they have to rely on each other, because they have to be everything to each other, the sisterhood that they experience with each other, that advocacy, that coming alongside that they have was the strongest. And so I recognize that with my parenting, and I recognize it with my grandparenting, I got really lucky. Imperfect, but lucky. And I also know that there are others who do not get this concept of coming alongside. It's an extreme example, but at the jail, I will no longer ask, has anyone ever deeply loved you? I did this a few months ago, and most of the people said no. They have no concept of selfless love being shown to them. Nobody has ever shown them that. And so I still sit with, if no one comes alongside and loves you, how can you access that concept from God, from the deity? How can you understand? And I think some people kind of inherently get that. I think my dad did somehow. I never asked him how. But I think that's where we come in. I think that's where we go back to those commandments. I think that's where Christ is saying, okay, but I'm giving you an advocate as I have been, and now you get to be advocates too. You get to come alongside others. And these are the commandments, the ways in which you can do that. It's not about avoiding shrimp or smelt or whatever, not wearing mixed fabrics. It's about coming alongside and caring community. Does that sound right? That we take that energy of the Spirit and further it, and we dance together? The sermon today, when I was first thinking about it, was just going to be all about love. Hence the Beatles reference, hence all the hymns today. But this is unending, undeserving, freely giving, an all-encompassing love. And what a wonderful concept for how we come alongside. What a wonderful thought process for what it means to be an advocate for each other, to say, you know what, I'm with you. I'm not leaving. I'll be quiet when you're overstimulated and don't need somebody right next to you. But I've got you. I'm holding you. And then they can say it back to us. To be alongside. That is a gift that Christ gave us in the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit is always alongside us, and give us the concept of how we can be that to ourselves and to each other. Thanks be to God for teaching us how to be co-creators, to be co-advocates, to participate in this wondrous love that is the dance, that is the heartbeat of the universe. Amen. Dear ones, go forth in this place knowing that you are not alone, that the divine is with you, that you are with each other. And thanks be to God, go forth with the never-ending love of the Father, with the gumption and the company of the Son, and with the movement and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit with you now and forever. Amen.